works there.
Thank you, Ethan. Well, we know him by Chewy since he was a little kid. So it's very hard for me to call him Ethan because we really know him by Chewy. It's a friend of mine that came to Spanish, to church, a co-worker that his nickname was Chewy. His name was Jesus, but the nickname for Jesus in Mexico is Chewy. So he loved that nickname, and he said, you know, don't call me Ethan anymore, call me Chewy. So we did, you know. So anyway, thank you, Ethan. Thank you so much for being praying for my cousin. He passed away on Monday, and it's been so hard for my family. We were so close. We grew up together, and we were raised in Mexico City. And it's very hard for my family to deal with this pain. He was 48 years old. He got COVID-19, and within a week, all his health went downhill. So thanks so much. Today was the hardest day for the wife in Virginia because they show her the body. So I think over there in that state you need to have 3 witnesses. I don't understand much about it, but pray for that situation. So walk with me to the book of Psalm 88. This is a message that I preached last year during the pandemic. Basically, I preached it back in April 2020. And I preached this message because I knew a Spanish church that their pastor committed a sin, and then he got disqualified to be the pastor. So the church closed, and those church members were hurt. This happened just before the pandemic. And the pandemic came, and I tried to comfort those that were worried. And back in April last year, we have a lot of people that lost a loved one. My wife included, she lost her sister. Brother Raul, that sits next to sister, that same spot as Sister Yesenia, lost his dad and 2 brothers. Sister Rocio got saved during the broadcastings last year, and she lost a brother and a brother-in-law. And it's been so hard. So I preached this message back in April 2020. So basically I'm going to preach this message again for me. I've been having a hard time this week trying to deal with my cousin's death, that I want to preach for maybe one of you that are going through trials. So the book of Psalm 88, verse 1. Let's read together. Psalm 88, verse 1. O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thy ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom do thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. Heavenly Father, help me as I'm going to try to preach a message that is not in my original language. I struggle so much, Father, trying to preach in English. So help me, Lord, I rely on you. And help, Father, those that are still hurt and that those that are feeling that they cannot continue no more. So be with us. Help me, Father. I pray that the Holy Spirit will move in a mighty way. And thank you so much, Father, that we have this book that we can guide our steps. Thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. There is 150 psalms. And this psalm, the 88, is one of the saddest. The person who wrote this psalm is called, if you have a Bible that on top it says the name Heman the Hezrite. And I Google his name just to have more info on this man. And it seems like he has so many troubles, and one of those was leprosy. That's the reason you will find in this psalm that he's like, Lord, I cannot continue like that. I'm going to die soon. Read verse 3, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. We know that leprosy is a disease that you cannot cure it. That's the reason when we read the Gospels and when we saw Jesus Christ healing the lepers, it was a mighty sign from God. Verse 8, thou hast put away my acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Remember back then, the law required them of them to have like a veil. And if people try to come closer, they start shaking and say, leper, leper, like saying, you know, stay away. So it was very sad as we see this pandemic. My sister couldn't say, my wife couldn't say goodbye to her sister because the family members were not allowed. And this man, it seems like he was having such a hard time. This man believed that he has no future, as we read verse 1 and 7. This man believes that he has no friends in verse 8. Thou hast put away my acquaintance far from me. One thing that I praise the Lord is that when we go to trials, we have our church member families, and we have a very dear family members as well that can come and comfort us. This man believed that he has not only no future, no friends, no foundation. Pray for me. My faith is being tested. And since last year, when we used to put this prayer request during the broadcastings, the Lord didn't answer some of them. And deep inside, you start wondering why, Lord. So today in the Spanish church, I preach a message about when God say no, and I use the experience of David in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 7 when he decided to build the temple and God said no. So pray for me as I try to minister people, and sometimes as a ministers, we need to be ministered as well. And my faith has been tested so hard this week. And during the day when I'm working, I'm asking, Lord, why you didn't save my cousin? He was not safe. The wife is not safe. And I knew, Lord, that if you save them, maybe they come to trust in you. And I've been struggling with this since last year. So it's very easy for us to believe that we have no foundation. And the Lord used everything around us to remind us that he loves us. And as I saw the rain this morning, the Holy Spirit reminded me that rain symbolize the blood of Jesus Christ that wash away our sins. And believe me, I've been having a so hard time this week. And this man has no foundation, and I put myself in his shoes with leprosy, with no friends next to him, no family members. That verse 13, he believed that he has no faith. But unto thee I have cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Not only that, in verse 14, he believed that the prayers won't have an answer. Lord, why castest thou my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? That is something that I thought about it this morning. And many times when I got saved and I knew my sins were paid for in full price by the blood of Jesus Christ, Satan was so subtle and came to me, listen, you just sin again. You just asked the Lord to forgive you for this sin, and you just committed again. So many days and many weeks, I didn't pray at all because I believed that lie. And I'm like, you know, that's right. How come the Lord is going to forgive me if I committed again? But praise God that we have the Bible that in 1 John, that if we confess our sin, he is just and faithful to forgive us and to wash us from all sins. So that's praise God for that. But this man believed that he has no faith, that He has no answers of prayer. So I want to give you three steps when you feel, and like I say, I'm preaching this message to myself, steps that this man followed even in his darkest hour. In verse 9, my eye mourned by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. This man remembered that he needs to have a connection to God. I remember when I moved to Kearney in the year 2002, my daughters were about to have the classes to do the First Communion. And the people over there told us, you should show up to church either Saturday or Sunday. Remember, Sunday was for me. I used to play soccer. And I'm like, you know, I'm going on Saturday. So we used to go on Saturday. And in the Catholic Church, in every corner, mostly all around, there is like idols. And my family and I, my wife and my two daughters, used to go to one by one. Ask to this idol for protection, for this one for help. Until we were done, we went home. This man, on his darkest hour, he remembered that he has a connection to God, a stray to God. In verse 1, O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry day and night before thee. He has a beautiful connection, brothers and sisters. If the blood of Jesus can make us whole, and we can come straight unto the Father, that's the reason we don't need the tabernacle anymore. We don't need the priests. We don't need the sacrifices that we read in the Old Testament. What we need is come to Jesus, and he will give us his righteousness, and we will give in our sins. That's like a nice exchange. This man remembered that he has a connection with God, and he prayed continually, day and night. He prayed in the morning, and he prayed in the evening, and he prayed constantly. Not only that, but he prayed emotionally. And this week I've been so emotional. I've been working and crying. I've been doing the Bible studies on Tuesday and Fridays, and I've been crying. I'm like an open wound now. And this man, he was praying emotionally. Verse 1, O Lord of God, of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Verse 9, my eye mourned by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. That's like a little kid crying, Lord, Lord, please help me. Lord, please listen to me. Human emotions is like a burden. I've been working. My sister woke me up on Monday morning and told me that my cousin passed away. And all this Monday through Friday, I felt like somebody was on top of me. Was working, and on Friday especially, I was having such a hard time doing the Bible study that I told them, I'm sorry if I'm not making any sense tonight. I don't think I'm making any sense, and please forgive me. You know, I'm not doing well, but I'll be okay. I'll be okay, and praise God, he's been dealing with me. But a human emotion is a burden so hard. It weighs heavy on your heart. Not only this man pray continually, day and night, in evenings, emotionally, but he pray very smart, like I say before. On Saturday nights, you will find me in the Catholic Church doing my duty, trying to be a good religious man. And I used to go and pray all around all the idols that they had that didn't even know who they were or what they did. So I trust that they were a connection between God and me. So this man did the right thing when he prayed. Very smart. Verse 1, O Lord, God of my salvation. He knew to whom he should come and pray. And first step, maintain your connection to God. The second one, your commitment to God. I told on Tuesday morning to my wife, I don't think I'm able to teach a Bible lesson tonight. I don't think I can. And then she told me, yes, you know, it's up to you. But remember, there is a couple of people that are lost, that they are faithfully listening to your broadcastings. I'm not saying do it or don't do it. It's up to you. But remember, this is the two persons that as soon as you start broadcasting, they connect right away. But, you know, it's up to you. And I spoke to the Lord before I start. Lord, please help me to don't cry. Help me to be able to do the message. And praise God, the Lord help me. It will be times that something will happen to you that you will try to just be away. But we have a commitment to God. September 2009, that's when I surrendered my life to preach. That day, when my wife told me, you know, it's up to you, I used to go and preach. 2009, in November, I started preaching in Kessler. And I still have the bulletin of that. It has the date, November 2009, and the program, four songs, the message and prayer, and some Bible verses, and the plan of salvation. So when I saw it, I'm like, yes, the Lord saved me to preach. Even that I'm a heartbroken man today, I will preach. And praise God that he remind me of the commitment that I have. He know I'm weak. He knows that I'm weak. And this man in Psalm 88, he remembered his commitment to God. But read with me verse 14. Why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? This is one of the Bible verses. When I start reading the Bible, summer of 2004, when I read that, I'm like, you know, every time I pray, God hides his face from me because I know what I have done. I know I'm a sinner. And that scared me to death. And I'm like, okay, it's a reality that God don't listen to the hidden. What can I do for him to listen to me? So praise God, I continue reading the Bible, and I found that Jesus Christ was the connection. In John chapter 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. So I remember that I have a commitment to God to teach people and show them that only Jesus Christ is the connection. And that's the commitment that keeps me going. And this man, read with me verse 6. He was completely depressed. And he wrote this: Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. He really thought he was all the way down. He thought it was no recovery for him. He thought that he was going to stay down. And many times we will feel that way. And through this pandemic that I'm praying for the Lord to get rid of it, I see a lot of pain and I see a lot of sorrow. Last year, Sister Rocio now, because after she got saved, I think back in June, when she started listening to the broadcasting, she put brother-in-law in prayer, Abraham. We pray and pray and pray and pray. And then she said, can I add another person? Yes, can you pray for Raul, my brother? And we continue praying for both. And both of them pass away. Before they pass away, I asked Pastor Matt, please help me to pray for them. I'm pretty sure if both of them get well and they recover, I'm pretty sure she will trust the Lord. But I'm afraid, Pastor, that if they pass away, she's going to get bitter towards the Lord. And she's going to be like, you know what? And he said, you know, we'll pray, but the Lord will do his way. And the Lord is making her listen to the broadcasting. He's dealing with her. And the Lord did. They passed away, but praise God, she got saved. Anyway, last week she came with a little girl. And we said, hi, little girl, hi, you're so cute. And then she told me, you know, that's Abraham's daughter. That broke my heart. I'm like, this girl, she's 10 years old, she has no father now. And when my cousin passed away the next day, I'm like, oh, Lord. Guadalupe, that's her name, she has no father now. And now my cousin passed away. I know you are able, Lord, because when I read the Bible, you do mighty things. Why you didn't listen to our prayers? And I was all the way down, brothers and sisters. I'm going to confess. I was all the way down. I was like this man. In darkness, in deep. And that can take you to verse number 7. Listen. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. This man felt that it was trouble after trouble after trouble, pain after pain after pain. And sometimes you will feel that way. Sometimes life will take you. And Sister Yesenia lost her grandma last year as well. And we cried, we put her on prayer, we pray for God to heal her. And it's very hard. It's very hard, believe me, it's very hard when somebody lost a loved one. But in reality, like I told the Spanish church this morning, if we weigh our sorrows and pains towards the many blessings of God, it's more blessings. We can spend a whole day taking testimonies. And somebody wants to praise God for something he has done in your life. And I'm pretty sure all of us has a lot of things to be grateful. And sometimes we think we are all the way down, but in reality, the Lord is preparing us. The Lord is helping us. The Lord is building us. And it's through tears and sorrow that we can become a better man, a better servant, a better Christian. The afflictions and sorrows that we have in this life, they are not that heavy. It seems like they are heavy. And they are there to lift us up. So when you are all the way down, it's only one way up, that you have to stretch your wings like a eagle and start moving and say, okay, listen. Long time ago when I was lost, I read a book about addictions. Because I was so wondering, how can people get addicted to drugs and alcohol and many things? And I read a book about it, and then the person that was giving counseling to another person through the book said, you know, you were like a little dove. You came to the deepest, where it's like, ¿cómo se dice lodo? Mud. You went to that place where it's mud. There you find drugs, there you find a lot of things. So all the mud start coming to you. And one day you try to fly away, but you couldn't because it was heavy. And one day you try to do your wings like this, but it was so painful that you decide to stay, but today is the day. It's going to hurt, but you have to do it. You were meant to fly, not to be all the way down. And that, when I, on Tuesday, I remember that I'm like, you know, Lord, I feel like that dove. I feel so heavy, Lord. I don't think I can fly. I don't think I can even pray later on. How can I take prayer request when I, in my heart, I'm telling you why you didn't answer my prayer. How come you're going to answer their prayers? So you understand how I felt? But if we are really focused on what God call us to do, our pains will help us to lift us. And all the message that I've been preparing Tuesday, Friday, and today, this morning, they were for me. They were for me. And please pray for me. I'm weak. And I'm tired of seeing so much pain and sorrow, so much tears, and so many family members losing a loved one. And this man was all the way down. And the Apostle Paul, too, remember? in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you want to go back with me, I mean, if you want to go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Apostle Paul as well, he felt that was something in his life, and he asked the Lord many times, Lord, can you take away this for me? Can you make it go away? And the Lord gave him this answer. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Highlight that word, brothers and sisters. My grace is sufficient for thee. If it wasn't because of the grace of God, how can I minister people when I myself need to be minister? The Holy Spirit ministered to me this week. And he told me, maybe you don't understand now. Maybe you don't understand what's going on. But at the end, you will see. I don't know what the Lord is trying to do. Back in 2010, a couple years before the Spanish church, or around that time, no, a couple months, or I can't remember, my cousin got sick. And he was in the hospital for weeks, for months. So I went there and tried to witness to him. I tried to witness to him. This is another cousin. I witnessed to him at home, and he mocked and he laughed and he made fun of Christians. So when he was about to pass away, we went there and I led him to Christ. He was with tubes down. He was under anesthesia. But he was listening. And I told him, listen, if you want to get saved, please hold my hand tight. And he did. And I'm like, I got him to Christ. And I'm like, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, please blink your eyes. And he didn't blink his eyes. He's opened them. He opened his eyes so wide. He couldn't talk. And then the doctor told us, listen, you have to leave. It's not going to be nice what you are about to see. He's about to have a heart attack. And we were like, why? Because the family members told me to disconnect him. And we pray right there, Lord, if he's not going to survive, please don't make him have a heart attack. And I told him deep inside, Lord, if he got saved, please make him go away like he was just sleeping. And he did. They asked me to preach in the funeral. I preached a message on 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It was a very hard message. No thieves, no drunkards, no idolaters will enter the kingdom of heaven. On the way back home, my sister told me, I think you were too harsh on them. And I'm like, I have to. Because all these family members, I remember when I was a little kid, were getting drunk with my dad, thinking that life is... nothing. And then I got depressed about it. And the Spanish church was born on August 2011. Because of people that listened to that message that were there asked me, I'm sorry, what is your church? Do you have a Spanish service? Because we don't speak English. So that's when we decided to have a Spanish service. I didn't see it that way when my cousin passed away, when we pray, Lord, please heal him. But I see it now. And I told them this morning, listen, you are the living proof that sometimes we don't see what's going on, but the Lord knows. And almost 10 years after, you are here. So we don't understand many things. I read a story about the early 1900s. This man tried to come to America with his family. He started saving money. And just about 3 weeks, a week before they were supposed to board the ship, the smallest kid, I think he was like a 5 years old, he was petting a dog, a stray dog, and the dog bit him. So the doctor gave him stitches, but this is the bad news. Back then they used to put a yellow sign on by the door, listen, don't come closer, maybe somebody inside has rabies. And he has to quarantine for 2 weeks. The ship was going out the next week. And the day that the ship was leaving, he went to the dock, and he was so mad with God. Lord, why? We save so much money to buy tickets, and we were ready to, why you allow my son to get beaten by a dog? Lord, I'm not saying I hate you, but Lord, why? How come that? So he was mad for a couple of weeks, or a couple of days, when all of a sudden he heard that ship sink, that was the Titanic. When he saw that, he went there to his son's bed and called him and said, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't see it that way, but now I see it. You spare our lives. Lord, many times we don't know what's going on, but praise God, because you are in your wisdom. You know what's going on. Many times we'll feel that what we want is what we need, but the Lord knows more than us. And this man is helping us to keep our connection to God, our commitment, and go back with me to Psalm 88. We're almost over. I thank you so much for being here. It's been a long day. Psalm 88, verse 1. O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. That's the key. Lord, God of my salvation. When Jesus Christ was here, he called 12, but he asked for more disciples to come. It was 12 apostles, and he got many disciples. One day he decided to send them two by two. Go with me to the book of Luke, chapter 10. And he gave them authority to heal people. He gave them authority to do miracles. And he told him, listen, wherever you go and they welcome you, say peace unto you. Remember that passage? And they came back. They came back. And listen, and read with me Luke chapter 10, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, this is the verse that I want you to pay attention. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. When somebody come to Jesus and accept the gift of salvation, his name gets in the book of life. It was beautiful for me. Maybe you as an American don't know the joy or the privilege that is that you come through the airport and you show your passport and they say welcome. When I traveled with my citizenship the first time, I was nervous. I'm like, oh my soul, maybe my name is not in the system. Maybe another Jorge Moran did something and they are going to blame me. And I show my passport. They look at me, scan it, fold it again, and say, welcome home. When they did that, as I was walking away, I'm like, you know, when I die, they're going to ask, is the name of Jorge Moran in the book of heaven? Lord, it is. Since when? November 2004. Has he been a good boy? He's a little hard-headed, but he's been. He remembers, as this man in Psalm 88, to maintain my connection to God, to remember my commitment, and to celebrate my God, the God of my salvation. I'm safe. And all the sorrows and all the tears that we will share in this earth is not going to be comparing to what the joys that we have awaiting us for us there. Amen. I'm going to be among the top of the top. Abraham, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all the heroes that I can read in this book, I'm going to meet them. And I'm going to be a humble servant of my Lord Jesus Christ. I will be forever thanking him for going to Calvary Cross to pay for the debt that I couldn't pay. It will be a joy to be there among the saints, in the angels, singing praises to the one that went to Calvary Cross on that morning and didn't open his mouth because he knew that that was the only way that me, Jorge, could be safe. My prayer is that today, at this moment, you know for sure you are going to heaven. My cousin was 48 years old. I remember we grew up together. He didn't believe in God. He didn't. Many times he told me, I don't know why you are doing this. For example, sending my girls to do the first communion. I don't believe in that. I'm like, well, my mom told me that. But yeah, but, you know, he was very tough on not believing in God. I really hope that he repented. Here in America, it's very hard for a person to don't listen to the gospel, even if they don't want to. On the radio, on tracks, I'm praying for God that at the last moments, when he was struggling to breathe, that he repented. But you don't need to wait. Are you sure you are going to heaven? That's my question. We are going in this life to have so much sorrows, but at the same time, we're going to have so much happiness as well. Don't wait until the last minute. If you are not safe, today is the day. My cousin was 48 years old. My sister-in-law was 50. And many, many people were young and passed away. This pandemic is still here. We don't know what's going to happen. And I pray, and I'm praying to God that he will take it to the deepest of the sea. But we are going to die anyway. In another way, are you sure you are going to heaven? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. As we read in this psalm, this man was depressed, but he never forgot to keep a connection to you. He never forgot to keep the commitment to you. And he never forgot to celebrate your name. Help us, Father, as we rejoice that you are at God of our salvation. Help us, Father, to rejoice even in trials and tribulations and the joys that we will find in heaven. As we continue growing in this church, help us, Father, to reach souls. Many of them has no hope. They have religion, but they don't know you. Maybe many of them heard of you, but they don't know you personally. So help us, Father, to shine and to bring much, much more souls to your kingdom. Thank you for these people that are here tonight. Bless their knees and help them. And help us, Father, as we start another week. Protect us, Father, from this pandemic and protect us in many ways. So just be with us, Father, and we thank you for everything that you've been doing, everything that you have done, and everything that you will do. And we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you. Thank you.